We gather this morning in the high name of Jesus, our Savior. Let us stand and extol his name with our opening hymn, our opening song, His Name is Wonderful, words on the back of your bulletin. His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Jesus, my Lord.
He is the mighty King, Master of everything.
His name is wonderful. Our next song is number 6 in the Blue Book, Here in This Place.
Is God's light shines in our hearts and in our church. And you are the light of the world. Share that light with each other. Greet one another. And I forgot the opening prayer. I'll plead daylight savings time on that. Shall we pray a minute? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the light of spring. And we thank you for the light that shines in our heart. And for the light in the eyes of the children and in the eyes of the old and of those of us in between that shines forth your love and your joy. Bless our church service this morning. And help us to encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Maria, I believe. Hi.
A few weeks ago, I had the wonderful privilege of hearing the Heston Choir Bel Canto singers perform along with the Freeman Academy Chamber and Concert Choir. It was a fantastic concert. Lifted me out of my gloom of this crazy, insane world that we are living in. They shared a little preview of a couple of the songs from the new Mennonite hymnal, Voices Together, that is coming out, I believe, in the fall. And I wanted to share a few of those with you. We had an opportunity to sing as a congregation along with the choir and make beautiful music together. So I just wanted to share a little bit of that with you. The first is a song called Touch the Earth Lightly. The second is As We Rise, O God, to Meet You. And I was finishing up with a familiar one. I heard the voice of Jesus say, which I didn't realize we were singing later on in the service today. So the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Lightly, use the earth gently, nourish the life of the world in our care. Give the great wonder ours to surrender, trust for the children tomorrow will bear. God of all living, God of all loving, God the seedling, the snow and the sun. Teach us, deflect us, Christ, reconnect us, using us gently and making us one. As we rise, O God, to meet you, as we open wide our eyes, like the sun that fills the morning, fills our body with your light. We are empty, Spirit, fill us, God, we open up our lives. As we linger at your table, as we eat this common bread, like the seed both sown and scattered, fill our bodies with new life. We are empty, Spirit, fill us, God, we open up our lives. Thank you. the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that life of life, I'll walk till traveling days are done. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.
I'm going to kind of ask you to gather behind me because I got a story on the computer I want to share with you, okay?
Yay!
Yay! All right. It's called Dear Sunshine. So I'll gather around here. You have to gather in close as you can so we can see. Hey, I love your tie. Beautiful. Handsome boy. Where would you see? Can you see? Can everybody see okay? It's called Dear Sunshine. Very Greer. Can we see okay? Back to, come over here, honey. Can you see okay? Why don't you come over here and sit with us? Dear Sunshine by Alexis Bacon, right? Can you see okay? It just takes a minute. Yeah, bacon's good to eat, isn't it? And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And there, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for the days and the years. Genesis 1:14. So she's going to talk about the value of sunshine. It says, dear sunshine, I want you to know that even though you are way up there, you are keeping me warm all day. Today's a warm day, isn't it? Yeah. When I am splashing in the water, I stay warm because of your rays. You see the sunlight? See here? Can you see okay, honey? No? Okay. I'll hold on. Whoops, let me go back here. I never tried this before. We'll have to see how this goes. Well, I think I just lost it. There you go. And the flowers and the trees count on you because you help them stay tall and green. Yes, isn't that nice? Look at that. I bet you could draw pictures like that of sunshines and trees and flowers. You think so?
Nope.
Nope, I think you could. I bet you so. You might be closer to the stars in the nighttime sky. Look at that. Just so you know, planet Earth counts on you, too. Isn't that funny? Nice picture. From the deers in the forest. To the frogs on the lily pads. Look at the little frogs there. See the little frogs there? Yeah. Each animal loves the warmth you give them. You know, I know you're there even when the skies are snowy. Ooh, the sun is still shining, isn't it? Yeah, sure it is. I know you're there when the skies are rainy. I know you're there, sunshine, all ready to shine after the thunder sounds are over. You are there twice as pretty when there's a rainbow. You ever seen a rainbow?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Gives you give us sunrises. There's a rooster, sort of. I think that's a rooster. Look like a rooster to you? Look like a rooster, sort of like a rooster. Yeah, okay. You leave us sunsets. Oh, I think there's a beautiful sunsets out here in the prairie, farmlands. Nope. And this goes to sleep. Yeah. All fruits need your light. All veggies need your warmth. Thank you, sun, for being so bright and bringing us warmth and light. The end. It's a heart-shaped sun, isn't it? I think there's one. Yeah. So let me ask you, what do you think about sunshine? It's nice and warm today, isn't it? Huh?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you like the sunshine? Do you like it was nice and warm and bright outside? What are some of the benefits of sunshine? What do you think some of the sunshine does for us? Helps you get warm. Oh yeah, like today. Do what?
It gives us light.
Gives us light so we can see things. Makes me feel good inside, and the sun is shining. I can feel really good inside. What else? Do you have a garden? What? Make you do what?
Veggies grow.
Do you have a garden?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll be planting pretty soon, won't we? Yeah. Pretty soon it'll be time for onions, I guess, and peas, and I guess those things. Yeah. We need the sunshine. You know what the Bible says about Jesus, though, and light? What do you think he says? It says. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. Just like the sunshine brings us life, Jesus brings life to our hearts, to us inside. And Jesus brings us warmth and love of God to help us feel better about who we are and to bring us into a relationship with God forever. Isn't that cool? Or is that warm? One. All right. Thanks. That's all I have this morning. Let's pray. Don't leave till we pray. Dear God, thank you for the sunshine. It brings us warm weather, and our plants grow, and the animals are alive. And thank you for Jesus being the creator of the sun and the light of the world. And the light in my heart. Amen. All right, thanks for letting me experiment with you in the book.
I sometimes fuss at my grandkids are too much in front of a screen, and my daughters remind me that so am I. And we can all be greatly relieved that so is our pastor. If the ushers would come forward, we'll have an opening prayer, an offertory prayer, and then we'll take the offering. And Father in heaven, we are grateful for your gifts to us, grateful for the sunshine, and grateful for the opportunity to honor you with our gifts. Bless the work of our hands as we labor here in the country to produce crops and livestock and in our businesses and careers. And I pray your blessing on that and on this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
John 3:16. As a 9-year-old girl, when I read this verse, it was as true as it is today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I find great comfort in that, and I find it very comforting that we do that together. We do that together in church. We do that as a community with our Lord. Thank you.
It's time for our sharing time and joy reports. Anyone have anything to share? Ushers are frantically grabbing a microphone. Anything at all? Anyone at all? Becca?
I just want to thank everybody for your prayers and your concerns for our family as we've been going through a few little things the last couple months. As you can see, Jared has wobbled in here today, which is great. Just want to thank you for all that. It's been great to have the support here of our family. And it's been a little bit difficult because I'm doing a lot more out in the barn. And if there's anybody that wants to show me how to put a halter on an 800-pound steer, please come over anytime because Jared can't. Thank you.
Anyone else or any volunteers to put the halter on that steer? Yeah, Todd Kerner. He said it in church, so. Anyone else? Okay. I don't know if there's any other announcements. Of course, you're all aware of the passing of our brother Melvin and the funeral tomorrow and the service tonight. There's anything else? Okay. Well, then let's go to prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful once again to be gathered in the name of your Son, who loved us and died for us, who took the journey to the cross, despising this time when he would bear the sin of the world and bear the wrath of the Father and the scorn of the people, of his own people, all for us, that we might have life. We're reminded that he's the light of the world. Pray that you'd bless our pastor today as he preaches on that and brings that to us. And it seems we live in a time of great prosperity, and where even those of us down the prosperity ladder a ways have conveniences and power far beyond what the kings and rulers of your day had. And pray that you would, first of all, help us to recognize our fears and anxieties. We see how a little virus in another country has, while it may at some time or in some way greatly affect our world, in reality, it has really affected us in our anxieties and fears. So we pray that the light of your truth and of your presence would be with us all. We celebrate the life of a strong old man, faithful here in your church, a brother, a brother-in-law, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. We pray that you would comfort, first of all, his wife Emma in this time, after a long journey together. And that you'd comfort the family and help them know how to move on, and especially the little great-grandchildren, and speak to them in your own gentle way. Our church is still in a time of transition and still trying to find our way forward. And we are searching for a pastor to labor among us, and pray that you would bless that effort and prepare the heart and the situation of the person you would bring to us. We're trying to learn how to do church perhaps a little better and put together some policies and ideas of that would guide our church and our relationships with each other, and we pray that you would bless that effort as well. Pray for our pastor as he labors among us and is an encouragement to us and brings us your word. And now with the celebration tomorrow of Melvin's life, I pray that you would give him strength for that and clarity and a blessing. Thanks for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Where are we? Do we sing a hymn or something here? Yes, we do. 334. 334 in your hymn book, if you'd stand.
Thank you.
our Lenten chats. Helen Rosenvier was a physician in the Congo, 1953 to 73, 20 years there. And maybe you know her story. If not, I'd encourage you to read her story. Her life story is really a phenomenal story of God's grace and love. Especially she was there during the uprising in the Congo and experienced some very extremes of abuse, but came out with the grace of God to forgive and love anyway. But she tells a story in one of her books called The Hot Water Bottle. Excuse me. And what it was is that she was in this little, I guess, hospital nursing area, and they didn't have a lot of facilities, and a woman came in who was quite pregnant, and Dr. Helen was helping her, and there was nothing she could do eventually for the mother, and the mother passed away, leaving a premature baby and a two-year-old, their devastated two-year-old daughter. And she's like, what do we do to help this child, this baby? You know, so she didn't have any incubators and didn't have a pharmacy down the street and didn't have any electricity. There wasn't much they could do but keep this baby warm in a blanket and around a fire and sleep around it that the night chill wouldn't come up on the baby. And the baby survived the night, and the next day she tried to help the baby and found a water bottle and put some water in her. Maybe it was that night, put some water in the water bottle, but it was an old water bottle and it broke. So there's nothing they could do. Just keep the child warm and pray. So the next day she goes to the orphanage and she tells the children in the orphanage about the mother and the child, and I suppose introduces the little two-year-old now to this orphanage. And she's praying with the children there, and she's praying and the situation. And one 10-year-old girl named Ruth just had this audacious prayer. She says, God, we need a water bottle now. We need it today, this afternoon, or the baby's going to die. And could you please bring a dolly for the little girl that she knows you love her? And Helen thought, she wasn't even thinking that way. There's probably no way that this is going to happen. She knows God could do this, but, the situations, and they're along the equator. Who's going to send them a water bottle for the equator? That kind of thing. And so she goes off to the nursing school. She's training nurses, and she gets this notice that a car had come up into her place, and she came off work, and there in the veranda was a huge box. And so she invited all the orphans to come over and open the box with her. And they opened the box and all these wonderful knitted clothes for the children. And in the middle of the box was a water bottle. And the little girl said, and there must be a dolly too. And sure enough, in the bottom of the box was a dolly. Miraculous prayer. The thing about that prayer is that 5 months earlier, at a home church and a women's missionary group or whatever, in her home church in England, they had put that box together. And the leader of that group thought, well, they might need a water bottle, so he was impressed to put a water bottle in. And some little girl said, well, let's put a dolly in for an African child too. And 5 months later, it arrives on the very afternoon of that need. Audacious prayer. Bold, courageous way of having faith to believe that God can do things, right? Powerful story. I embellished it a little, but you should read it though sometime. But our Lord makes some very audacious statements, doesn't he? We read one last week when we looked at John 6, and he has fed the 5,000. They come to him, they're talking about bread. He says, well, they're talking about the bread that God brought, the manna in the wilderness. And Jesus says, God brought that, and you could eat that bread, and they all died. But listen to this, I am the bread of life, he says. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now that's a pretty audacious statement, don't you think? But later on in chapter 7 and 8, the scene changes a bit, and they're in this festival. It's the festival of tabernacles or booths. It's a time that the Israelites commemorate Jesus walk or God walking with them in the wilderness and providing for the needs, water and light. Right? So what happens in this festival is the priest gathers this huge water, golden pitcher, goes to the pool of Siloam, takes out a big pitcher of water, and a procession comes back and dumps it out at the altar, feet of the altar. And it's right there that Jesus says this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Of course, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the great wells of salvation that open up that Isaiah talks about. Can you imagine that sitting there watching that going like, that's kind of a bold statement. What is he talking about? And then that same festival, these huge candelabras, they would light and probably light up all of Jerusalem. And these things are being lit, or they were lit, and Jesus makes this statement. He's saying there to them again, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Whoa. Audacious. And of course, they challenge him. He said, "You can witness to yourself." And he says, "Well, the Father and I give witness. The Father you don't know, but the two of us give witness. And it is true. I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness." So I was reading these scriptures and thinking about this little girl and her audacious prayer and these bold statements that our Lord makes. I thought, what can we at church here, what can we claim out of these stories for ourselves on the journey we're on here at the church? What can we audaciously stand up and say, this is what Jesus is doing here, hallelujah, and going to do among us? And I think the first thing we can say is he's leading us. The Lord is leading us. He has for the last couple of years. He has for the last 130 years of this congregation. The Lord's been leading this church. In the last 2 years, he's really been leading us, much like in the wilderness time. Now, if you read the story of the people in the wilderness, haven't read in a while, it wasn't that easy of a journey for them. And it wasn't that over. They were always like, got up early in the morning and said, "Oh, there's the cloud, let's go," you know. Or, "There's the fire at night, let's go." No, they had their struggles in the wilderness at the time, and trusting and believing and going and flowing and doubting, and we've had all those kind of struggles too, haven't we? But even so, God is still leading us as his people by his grace, and us humbly following him and submitting to that leading. That's the first thing. I really just believe that. I've seen that. I've watched that. But it's also that the Lord is our light in this time. Is he not? It says, if you walk in the light, you know, you'll have fellowship with the light. You'll be in the light. He is our light. You know, if you don't walk in the light, you walk in darkness. But if you walk in light, you don't walk in darkness. And we live in a dark world, do we not? There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worry and fear. There's a lot of hate. And sometimes as Christians, we get caught up in all of that. And we can get anxious. I've been watching those stories about the coronavirus. I'm thinking, whoa, is it in Sioux Falls yet? You know, yeah, it's all real. But as a Christian, I have a different perspective, no? The Lord says, hey, you follow me. I'm in the light. You're not in the darkness here. You're being aware. You're being enlightened into what the problem is, what the situation is. But look here. I did not give you a spirit of fear, Jackson, but a power of love and a sound mind. And my perfect love casts out all fear. Hello, wake up, boy. Don't get worried, you know. Or a time of anxiety. My stocks have gone down. Oh, no, that's what I live on. Jackson, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, bring all that to me. You're walking in my light. I've got this covered for you. Or fear of hatred. Look at the hatred in our world. Just look at the political nonsense that's going on. Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, Republican or Democrat. or independent, or whomever it may be, right? We walk in the light as a different world walking in the light. We don't walk in the darkness. That's a witness we give to the community. We're walking in the light of Christ. We have His Word. We have His truth. We have the revelation of God to lead us forward. Hallelujah. That's audacious. When the world around us doesn't accept this much anymore, or who He is. We're not in the dark. We are not in the dark. A couple years ago, there was a... I think it was... Can't remember if it was the same trip my son and I were on, or the same week, or the same week or two that we were there. Some of his friends came up, and they were camping, and we camp in the wilderness. I mean, it's not the deep, deep woods, but it's the deep woods, you know. There's a woods that goes a little deeper, but this is the deep woods. And you put tents around, and you have your campfire, and you cook on your fire, and you fish, and eat your fish. It's a really wonderful time. Well, this one old boy got up in the middle of the night to look for the nature's latrine, right? He grabs a cat bag and grabs a shovel, and he's going to head out 3 o'clock in the morning looking for nature's latrine, but he didn't take a flashlight or his headlamp. And he gets out there in the middle of the woods about 3 o'clock in the morning. You hear this, "Help! I'm lost! I'm lost! Help! I'm lost!" He got out there and apparently did his business fine, but he got turned around and he started heading in the wrong direction. Of course, the whole camp wakes up, and what's going on? What's this idiot doing? You know, he became the blunt of the jokes for the rest of the week. But they get flashlights, you get out there, they search him down, holler him in, and shine him home. You know? We're not that. We're not lost. We have the light of Christ in our lives leading us. Now, may it be only like a lantern at night and only see 3 or 4 or 5 feet in front of us, but as you walk, the light walks, we walk with the light, and it keeps leading us down the trail. And we stay sensitive to that leading by prayer Wednesday night. Hey, Wednesday night prayer time, come and join us, 6:15. We try to be sensitive to what God's leading us and directing us in our time together, here, moving forward together. That's powerful stuff as Christians. And Jesus is our life. Our life is the sunlight. We talk to the children, brings life to the vegetables and to the animals, you know, photosynthesis and vitamin D and your good feelings and the sad syndromes are gone. And Jesus brings a spiritual life and wholeness and goodness and love to our hearts and awakens us up inside, and we're alive in Christ. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, with the peace of God that surpasses understanding. We're alive in Jesus because we have the light of God, which is the light of life in our hearts. One of the things we claim here is at this church, one of our fundamental statements at Huddertal is that we are a Christ-centered people. Right? Living, relating, and serving. It's in this Christ-centered relationship. It's in this Christ-centered relationship. It's in Him. He's the center of our congregation. He's the source of our life. He is our hope, our joy. He is our future. He is the now and forevermore. He's the center. And how we relate to one another, how we live our lives in this community, how we serve Him, it's all out of that center, that relationship. I have a daughter-in-law who likes to do some pottering. And when she has the clay on the wheel, you have to keep it centered. When you work the clay, and I guess I've never done it, but do the wheel and work the clay. You got to keep it centered. If you don't, you'll get a wobbly pot or a bowl that looks kind of like it has a lip on it or something. You got to keep it. And you just don't do that. I just couldn't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to do this now. And no, wait, you've got to learn to keep the center, the clay in the center. And that takes practice and time. And the same with us. We haven't always kept our lives in the center, have we? But we're learning to do that. And we come back and say, well, Lord, forgive me. I've gotten a bit off center here and a bit off center there. I need to stay in the center where the source of life happens for us. Campus Crusade used to have a little brochure that talked about the four spiritual laws, and they'd give a short chair. And before I became a Christian, I was sitting in the center of the chair, and the center of my life, I was a king on my throne, and I was in control of everything. Right? But when I became a Christian, I stepped off the chair and put Jesus up here, and he took charge of my life. He became my center. His word, through prayer, fasting, he became my life. He became my source. And every now and then, I might get back on the chair, and when I do that, I usually fall off the chair, or off my rocker, and I do something stupid. I have to say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I put you back on the chair. I want him to be the center of my life. I want him to be, and he is. We claim that he's the center of our church. It's not about me anymore. It's about him. If our head deacon, Charlene, came and sat here, that would make her the center of our church. And maybe she'd have a heart right. I know she has a heart right for God, and that would go well. But pretty soon it becomes Charlene's church, right? Or if Edie came here as our church chair and said, here would be Edie's church. Or if Jack sat here in the center, it would be Jack's church. And that would all be wrong. It is his church, and we are his servants, manifesting his love, his joy, his peace, sharing his light with the world, his grace, his mercy, his goodness with others around us. That they could know what it is to serve and worship the living Christ as we do. He is our hope to move forward. He is our joy in the moment. He's the source of our faith. And I think that's pretty audacious. That's the claim we have as Christians here at Hunter Hall, that he is our center. He's our life. He's our light. He's our leader. We are his subjects and humbly bow in reverence to him and work together to understand his leading us as one in him. I have this audacious dream. When we, I'm going to say we because I'm collectively putting myself a part of you, but actually it's when you all, but I'll say we because I'm walking with you, interview the new pastor. Okay, I believe that's going to happen soon. When you all interview that pastor, then I'll keep going in and out here. Am I going in and out? Seems like I'm going in and out. Okay, we're good, all right. I believe that after that interview is over, this is my audacious belief, that this pastor is going to go back to Susan, our conference minister, and say, these people at Huddertal, wow, they are centered in Christ Jesus. They are centered in his word and his love and his mercy. They're living and relating and serving Christ in the center of that relationship. I can't wait to be a part of their church. Now, that's my audacious belief and prayer. And I'm claiming it for you that that'll happen. We are audacious people. We're Christians. And we live in a world that's dark. And we need to shine our light brightly, make our love known to others of his grace and mercy to them. Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn, number 493 in the blue book. If you'd stand, number 493.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me.
And now unto him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.